Today we're beginning on the top of Samach Tenem and Aleph, sixth line down. The Gemara was discussing Melikat Zar. We had a machlok between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan as to the efficacy of a Melika of a Zar. Everybody agrees that that does not succeed at making the Korban kosher, because we already learned that it has to be done by a Kohen. So if a Zar does it, it completely fails. The question is it still efficacious with regards to Tumat Nevela? And that is that we've seen before that Shechita, even though it's not a kosher Shechita, nevertheless Shechita has the capacity to be mitaher and nevela and change the status of the animal that dies from being something that is tumat nevela to something that does not have tumat nevela. And that is Shechita. And again, this is even if the Shechita is not successful. For instance, you shef, then you find out that it's a treifa. Even so, the Shechita is mitaheret midei nevela. So that's the issue that we're trying to deal with, the issue the Mishnah dealt with, and the issue that we're going to continue to deal with over here. What is the success, both of Shechita and Melika, in its ability to be Meteher Mitei Nevela? So Rabbi Yochanan and Rav argued about the Melika Zar. Is Melika Zar Mitamei Tumat Beta Blia, which is Tumat Nevela for an Uf Tahor? Rav said that it was in the category of those items that are not mitaher midei nevela. And Rabbi Yochanan said it's equivalent of melikat laila, melikat small, where that melika is successful at removing the tumat nevela. So that's the machloka that we saw until now. Now we're going to jump tracks, do something that seemingly is not connected, but in the end, it has relevance to our sugya because the two issues are connected. And that is, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Shamati Shtayim. I heard two things, which means that he had a mesora about two things, but he forgot exactly how they align. Achat kmitzat zar. One of them I heard about a zar that does kmitzah of a mincha. Achat melikat zar. The other one about a zar that does melika on an oof. Both of those are psulim. Both of them require kohanim. So if a zar does it, it's problematic. Achat tereid, achat lo tereid. And I had the misora that one of those, if it's put on the mizbeach, fails to the point that it has to be taken off. Even if you put it on improperly, you'd have to take it off. The other one, Allah lo tereid, means if it got to the Mizbeach, even though it shouldn't have gone to the Mizbeach, none of this should have ended up on the Mizbeach, because they are psulim. Nevertheless, certain psulim, if they end up on the Mizbeach, we don't take them down. The definition of that is found on Pei Dalet, Amud Aleph in the Mishnah, which says, kol psulo bekodesh. Anything that has a psul in Kodesh, that is something that remains on the Mizbeach. Im Allah lo tereid. If psulo she'in bekodesh, if it's psul is outside the world of Hekdesh, then Tereid, then you take it down off the Mizbeach. That terminology was the same terminology that was used in our Mishnah to determine whether something is Mitamei or not Mitamei B'Beit HaBliyah, or is something have Tumat Nevela. We said there that Kosh Psulo B'Kodesh, anything that's Psulo B'Kodesh, there is no Tumat Nevela. That's why if you do Malika B'Small or Malika B'Laila, even though those are Psulim, nevertheless, they don't have Tumat Nevela, because it was psulo bakodesh. The other hand, something that ain't psulo bakodesh, that is mitamei tumat nevela, because you weren't successful at doing anything. So that's the correlation between our Mishnah, the Mishnah and Pei Dalet, and that's why this question of Rabbi Yitzchak is actually relevant to us as well, which is that if you are successful getting out of the Nizbeach to the point, shelo tereid, that you don't take it down, that's indication that it was psulo bakodesh. And we said in our Mishnah, if it's psulo bakodesh, there's no tumat nevela, and vice versa. If you put on the mizbeach and you still have to take it off, that shows you that ain't psulo bekodesh. If ain't psulo bekodesh, then it's also going to have tumat nevela. That's the correlation between these two topics or the two issues, and that's why Rabbi Yitzchak's question, even though seemingly not related, is related because the test is the same test for both of these issues. So v'lo yadana, and I don't know which one is which. Amar Chizkia mistavro, makes sense, or logically, Kmitza tereid, melika lo tereid. That the kmitza at the mincha should come off the mizbeach, whereas the melika at the oof should not come off the mizbeach. Again, both of them are pasul of mizbeach, because it was done by a zar when it should have been done by the kohen. Question is, if anyway it ended up on the mizbeach, what should you do? So Chizki says, I think the kmitza at the mincha that was done by a zar, if it ends up on the mizbeach, should be taken off. Whereas the melika at the oof that was done by a zar, that should not be taken off. Maishna melika, dieshna bebama. What is the reason that you think Malika should stay on the Mizbeach? You think it's because by a Bama, if you do Malika, it is successful, meaning a Malika by a Zar, because Zarim are allowed to bring the korbanot during the Zman Heter Habamot. There's no requirement for Kohen. And therefore the Malika would be done by a Zar over there would be successful. And since Malika Zar would be successful in another manifestation, that by Bama, then also over here, if you do it in the Mikdash, even though it's Pasul, if it goes on the Mizbeach, we won't take it off. If that's your reasoning, Kmitza Nami, Yeshna Bibama. When it comes to a Kmitza by a Bama, the same thing is true. Kmitzat Mincha by a Bama can be done by a Zar, because there's no din of Kohanim by a Bama. So the same reason you would think that a oaf that has Malika Zar should stay on the Mizbeach should give you the same answer with regards to Kmitzat Mincha. The source is Bama. Both of them by a Bama are permitted by a Zar. Maybe you want to say that by Bamot, you don't bring Menachot. We don't find Menachot that are brought on a Bama anywhere. And so maybe the din is that a Menachot is just not relevant by a Bama at all. It says, Ain't no fault, Nami Bama. If you believe that there is no Menachot that were brought on a Bama, you also believe that there were no Ofot brought on a Bama. Say Machlok, it will get to way end of the Mesechta with regards to the status of a Bama. Dama Rav Sheshet. There Rav Sheshet said, the Divrei Omer Yesh Mincha Bama. According to the Deya, that there is a concept of Mincha by a Bama, meaning that you could bring Menachot on a Bama, Yesh Ofot Bama. He would also permit you to put birds on that Bama. The Divrei Omer, Ein Mincha, the one who says that there is no Mincha by a Bema, so do, Ein Ofot. There's no Ofot. I mean, there's a correlation between the two of them. The source for that happens to be the Pasuk that's found by Har Sinai in Shmot Perach Avdalet Pashat Mishpatim, where it says, Vayishlach et Narei B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Olot, Vayizbichu Zvachim Shlamim LaShem Parim. So over there, as Rashi notes, we're speaking about pre-Mishkan, pre-Mikdash. And over there, they're bringing korbanot on a bama. And it says there, v'izbechu zivachim shlamim. And the drasha is, zvachim velo mincha, zvachim velo ofot. The same drasha. And so if that's the source, then it's irrespective of whether it's a mincha or an oaf, it won't go on a bama. So if you're able to learn melikat azar from a bama, you'd also be able to learn kmitzat mincha of azar from a bama, because both of those would then be mutarim ala bama. If you can't learn mincha from a bama, you also can't learn oaf. Because if mincha you can't learn because it doesn't work by a bama, then oaf also doesn't work by a bama. The two are correlated. So my time out, what's the reason that they're correlated? As we just noted, zvachim v'lo menachot, zvachim v'lo ofot. Ela eima, ein kiddush v'kli sharet bin mincha b'bama. The difference is that there is no din of kli sharet by a bama. As opposed to in the Mishkan or in the Mikdash, when you do avoda, it's a requirement for kli sharet. That is because it says, Asher Yishartu Bam Bakodesh. You will utilize these utensils Bakodesh when you're in the Kodesh. Kodesh means in the Mishkan, in the context of Mishkan or Mikdash. Outside of that context, you don't use Kli Sharet. So now it's Ofot don't require any Kli Sharet. The Ofot, you have Malika, and then the Dam comes straight out of the bird onto the Mizbeach, whether it's Hazah or Mizui. The bird itself might be deemed a Kli Sharet, but there's no Kli Sharet. A mincha, when you take off the kamitza, has to be placed into a kli sharet, and then taken on placed on the mizbeach. So there's the big difference. You can learn about ofot from a bama, because the process that's done by the bama is exactly the same process that's done in the mishkan or in the mikdash. The mincha is not true. The mincha of a bama does not have a kli sharet. You do a kamitza of a mincha by a bama, you're going to put it straight onto the mizbeach. Whereas in the Mikdash, you have to put it into a Kli Sharet first, and then put it on the Mizbeach. If that's the case, then whatever is true by the Bama doesn't necessarily be true by the Mikdash, because the process is different. So I can learn about Oaf or Malikat Oaf by Azar from a Bama, because the processes are identical. On the other hand, by a Mincha, where the processes are differentiated, I can't learn from a Bama to Mikdash. And therefore, Chizkiyah says that's the answer to your question, Rav Yitzchak. You heard two things. I, through a logical assumption, will tell you what you heard. You heard that Malika Zar, if it goes on the Mizbeach, Eino Yored, it doesn't come off. Whereas if it was Mitzat Zar, if it went on the Mizbeach, you would take it off. The reason being that Malika Zar is found by Bama and was Mutar by a Bama. And therefore, when it's put on the Mizbeach, it will stay up. Whereas Mitzat Mincha, at least to be placed into a Kli Sharet, was never found by a Bama. So if you put on the Mizbeach, you're going to take it off. That has secondary ramifications, which means that a Malika Zar, if you put on the Mizbeach, it doesn't come off. that means it's psula bakodesh. If it's psula bakodesh, that also means that it's mitaher midei nivela, similar to Rabbi Yochanan's position. On the other hand, by mincha, where you believe that if it goes on mizbeach teireid, it's going to come down, that means that it's designated as in psula bakodesh. If ain't psula bakodesh, that means that it maintains tumat nivela. Obviously, over there, it's not relevant because we're speaking about a mincha. But again, with regards to ufot, this is supporter of Rabbi Yochanan's contention that it is mitaher midei nivela. Now the Gemara moves on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying that malak besmol o belaila, you did malika with your left hand, which is problematic. You have to do avodah with your right hand. Did malika at night, we know that all the avodah to korbanot have you done beyom, because it's beyom tzavoto. So both of these are failing milikot because they were done at the wrong time. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says that they make mitar midei nevela. They still remove the tumat nevela of tahor from the item. Just a reminder that tumat nevela by of tahor is different than tumat nevela by behema. By behema, tumat nevela is tumat maga, masa. It's a regular form of tumat where you come into contact with it. It conveys tumat to you. That's tumat nevela of a behema. Tumat nevela of an of tahor, we're going to see the pasuk in a little bit, tells you that there's only tumah bebeit abliyah when you swallow it. So that's why the Mishnah keeps telling you that it's mitameh bebeit abliyah or ain't a mitameh bebeit abliyah. It does or doesn't, mitameh bebeit abliyah is the same, synonymous with saying it has tumat nevelah or it doesn't have tumat nevelah. Because tumat nevelah ben of tahor only exists when you swallow it. At the moment that's in the beit abliyah, that if you touch something, you'll make it tameh, and that makes the individual himself tameh when he swallows it. The Mishnah is discussing this issue with regards to an oaf. This is all about an oaf tahor. Speaking about a kosher bird right now, and specifically Torim and Bnei Yonah that could go on the Mizbeach. Now, just as a broader background, we have the possibility, again, of 8 permutations as to what we're about to discuss. We have 2 ways to be mitaher or makshir for achila or midei nevela. One mechanism is shkita. The other mechanism is milika. We know that the only place that melika works is by a bird, bifnim. It means very oaf tahor in the migdash when it's one of the ofot that goes on the mizbeach. That's the only time that melika is utilized or is successful. Shechita, on the other hand, is successful for, first of all, birds outside of the migdash. That's how you get a bird that is kasher that you can eat. There's shechita that's done outside. In addition, shechita is also used for a behema, both inside the mikdash, as well as outside the mikdash by chulin. But that's all case by behema. For ofot, they're only, out of all of these different permutations, there's only 2 of them that matter. And that is melika bifnim, which is kasher, or shechita bachutz, which is kasher. Now, if to break that down even further, there's a possibility something is kodoshim, and something is chulin. So that means that when it comes to, for instance, shechita, shechita is only good by chulin b'chutz. That means there are 3 scenarios why shechita doesn't work. There's 3 other manifestations of shechita where it's pasul, it doesn't work. That is shechita chulin bifnim. That's a problem because you're not allowed to process chulin inside the mikdash. As well as shechita kodoshim b'chutz and bifnim all don't work because malika is the only way it works by kodoshim. By malika, the only time malika works is when you do it on kodoshim, bifnim. That also means there are 3 cases where malika is not effective. And that is if you do malika on kodoshim, bachutz, or if you do malika on chulin, ben bifnim, ben bachutz. That just gives you a broad perspective. What the Gemara is about to do for the remainder of this amud is discuss all 8 of those scenarios. That means shechita in a case of kodoshim, bachutz, bifnim, shkita by chulin, bachutz, bifnim, and then malika, kodoshim, bachutz, bifnim, and malika, chulin, bachutz, bifnim. What the Gemara wants to know is, in each of those scenarios, is the malika or shkita successful at removing the tumat nevela? Again, we already noted there's only 2 of those 8 cases where it actually works. And that is when you did a malika of kodoshim, bifnim, and when you did a shkita of chulin, bachutz. So there's only 2 out of the 8 we know that have worked and are kasher, and are successful in the sense that they give you a bird that you can eat, or they give you a korban that is successful. The other 6, everybody agrees, are psulim. The only question is, in their psul, do they still successful at removing tumat nevela? similar to Shechitat Behema. You do Shechitat Behema, even if the Shechitat fails because the animal's found to be a Trefa, nevertheless, the Shechitat is successful at removing the Tumat Nivela. And that's the question we want to know. When you do Shechitat or Melika, even though they don't create item that is kosher now, do they still remove the Tumat Nivela? Tanur Banan. So here's the first braita that we bring. Yochol Tehei Melika Shei Lifnim Mitama Begadim Bebeit Abliya. You would think that if you did Melika in the Kodesh, inside the Mikdash, that that would result in a situation in which the item Mitame Tumat Nivela. That's a little bit strange, because over here you're doing a Melika of Kodeshim Bifnim. That should work. So why would you be thinking about Tumat Bigadim Bebeit Abliya, or in essence that it should have Tumat Nivela? Rashi says that with regards to a chatat oaf, we know that it is successful. A chatat oaf, we learn from the pasuk in Parshat Korach that says the chol chatotam, to tell you that the Kohanim not only eat a chatat behema, but they also eat a chatat oaf. So we know when you do a malika on a chatat oaf of kodeshim in the Mikdash, that that is successful because it allows the Kohanim to eat it. The Kohanim, if you eat it, then obviously it does not have tumat nevela, because that's a successful malika. So what Rashi says is that we only know by chatat oaf. What about olat oaf? Maybe by olat oaf, when you do malika, it has a din of being a nevela. You tell me when you do it by a chatat oaf, you can eat it. Rashi says, gzera takatuv. It is a nevela. Just that the Torah says you can eat it anyway, and it may be that it's even tahor. But you don't have that gzera takatuv by an olat. So the question of the braita, according to Rashi, is olat oaf that you do malika on, maybe it has a din of being a nevela. Maybe it should have the status of being a nevela, because there's no pasuk that says it is mutar. So even though you don't eat the olat oaf, if somebody did eat the olat oaf after malika, are they eating a nevela? Or are they simply eating something that is kodoshim that should go on the mizbeach? What restriction are they violating? And do they become tamei, the tumat nevela, when they consume such an item? That's the way Rashi frames the question over here. Although Rashi, Itav Yad, as well as many of the other Rishonim, offer a different position with regards to what the question of the Braita is. You look here in the Itav Yad, he says, Ubimelikat Sulim. Speaking about not when you did the Malika properly. Again, Malika of a Of Tahor in the Mikdash, that is Kodashim, that's a proper processing of the item. It should have been fine. What's the question? So the question is, if it was Malikat Psul, meaning if it was done with your left hand, or the malika was done at night. Itzrichle, de'ilo malikot ksherot, when you do a malika that's kshera, behedja yitrabu. That already is included clearly from Parshat Korach, l'chol chatotam. According to Rashi in the Ketav Yad, there it's clear that since it's good for chatat oaf, it also works for olat oaf. There's no question here that malika is successful, and there's no tumat nevela. The question is, if somebody pasul does it, does that clear out the tumat nevela? So that's the question according to Rashi Ketav Yad. Rashi, here on the Gemara, says the question is with regards to olat oaf. Is the malika successful at removing tumat nevela? The Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, nevela. The pasuk says, it has to be a nevela in order for there to be tamei tumat nevela. It says, ha-nami nevelahi. Who says this isn't a nevela? Like as Rashi noted before, the olat oaf might be a nevela. Ha-chatat oaf, you eat it? That's a gezerat ha-katuv, that you're allowed to eat it from the chol chatotam. But maybe it is a nevela. Who says it's not a nevela? That's from Rashi's perspective. Rashi in the Ketav Yad, same thing. When you do it with the kasher, that's when it's not a nevela. But if you do it with someone who's not qualified to do malika, who says it's not a nevela? The Gemara says, Ela tamalomar treifa. Rather, it says the word treifa. According to Pasuk, which is going to be amongst the series of psukim that deal with nevela and treifa, which on the second half of today's daf will become much more prominent, from Vayikra Yudzayin, Pasuk Tetvav. Chol nefesh, asher tuchal, nevela, utreifa. Bazrach, ubager, v'chibes begadav, v'chatz b'mayim, v'tamei ad ha'erev, v'taher. The Chachamim learn about this Pasuk that we're speaking about, tumat nevela of an oaf tahor. And there it says, v'chol nefesh, something that is at the nefesh, so it's called beit ablia. When you're swallowing it, that's when it's relevant. Asher tochal, if you eat a nevela or a treifa, but zvach oger v'chibetz begadav rachatz b'mayim, then you have to wash your clothing, go to the mikveh, V'tamei ad ha'erev v'taher. You be tamei until sun sets. At sunset, you become tor. That is tumat ve'la, which is tumat yom. That is for an oath tahor. It's only true asher tuchal, when you eat it. Because if it was speaking about a behemah, we know that that's true even b'maga u'b'masa. So what is the only item where achila alone creates tumat ve'la? That is an oath tahor. So that's what the pasuk is speaking about. That says, v'chol nefesh asher tuchal ne've'la u'treifa. What does the word treifa add to the pasuk? The word treifa is extraneous, because a treifa is no different than a ne've'la. Let's look at the two possibilities of a treifa. Treifa machloket in the Gemara in Chulin, whether a treifa chaya, a treifa can live and will successfully live, or a treifa ain't a chaya, that a treifa will not live, it will die. That's why it's called a treifa. What are the two outcomes over here? If you say treifa meta, that a treifa is going to die, well, when a treifa dies, it's a nevela. What's the difference? Why do you have to tell me treifa separately from a nevela? On the other hand, if you think treifa chaya, a treifa is alive, nothing has tuma while it's still alive. Maybe that tumat nevela is only applicable to animals that die. That's true. Tumat beimah, nevela beimah. It's true. Tumat nevela tof tahor. It's only relevant when the animal dies. So if a treifa chaya, a treifa lives, then what's the difference? Why should it become tameh? Given that the word treifa is extraneous in the pasuk, what do we do with that extra treifa? That's what the Braita is saying over here. Tamalomar treifa. That's what the pasuk comes to teach you now. And now it has a limud. We're going to see later today in the Mishnah, there's a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda had to deal with this word treifa. And also over here, there's a machlok amongst the Mishnayim as to whether this Braita is according to Rabbi Meir or according to Rabbi Yehuda. I'll explain that in 1 minute. So now treifa. Ma treifa. She'ein materet et ha'isur. Treifa doesn't do anything to change the status quo. If it was a nevela, and it also was a treifa, treifa does nothing to change that status quo. Af kol she'ein materet et ha'isur. So then, anything that acts like a treifa, which means that it changes nothing about the status, then that item will have tumat nevela. It's a melika, she'hi lifnim, melika that's done in kodoshim, is different. Hohi materet et ha'isur, since it removes the isur that is involved. So let's go back to what the Braita is speaking about. According to Rashi, the Braita is speaking about an oaf tahor that was an olat ha'oaf in the Mikdash. And we wanted to know, does it have tumat nevela after melika? So the answer will be, based on the Braita, is you have to be like a treifa. A treifa doesn't change the status quo of the animal. It doesn't do anything. Again, if the animal's alive, it has no tumat. If it's dead, then it's tumat nevela. Treifa has no impact whatsoever on the din of tumat nevela. That's the case. The only time tumat nevela is applicable from this extraneous word treifa is when whatever you did made no difference. So now, by the malikat ha'of, that is kodoshim, did you make a difference? The answer is yes. That oaf can now go on the mizbeach. That oaf is now a kodoshim that can be processed and placed on the mizbeach. So your malika was successful doing something. Means it's different than a treifa. It's different than a treifa. It doesn't have tumat nevela. That's the way Rashi would say it. For the Rashi in the Kitab Yad, he said that the question here is with regards to a pasul that does malika. Well, a pasul does malika. Is there a difference in that item afterwards? The answer again is yes, because a malikat pasul im ala lo teret. You put it on the mizbeach, it would not be taken down, as opposed to a treifa. A treifa that is placed on the mizbeach, teireid, you will take it off. But a malikat psul, you put on the mizbeach, lo teireid. That's how it's differentiated. You can see that in the Shita Mekubetzet Odvav. He thinks the breit is according to Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you do malika by a treifa, it fails. You do malika of a psul, it also fails, but it still has some efficacy. So if you did malika on a treifa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you put on the mizbeach, it would come off. You did malika by a zar, or by a small, or by lila, that would also be pasul, but if you put on the mizbeach, it would not come off. That malika is successful, therefore that malika removes tumat nevela, as opposed to malika treifa that doesn't. According to Rabbi Meir, it says malika treifa is successful, you can't use that logic. So the logic is, what I had stated before, that treifa makes no difference. If you're a treifa, you're still a nevela. Treifa doesn't change the chance of nevela. The other hand, malika psul does change the status of the item, because now if you put on the mizbeach, it wouldn't come off. By a treifa, imalta, teret. You take a treifa and you put it on the mizbeach, we would take it off the mizbeach. Bread yatsa, malikat psula. But you do a malika that is psula, including malikat small, malikat laila, or malikat aizar, shehi lifnim, it was called the shim lifnim, she materet et aisur, takes away the restriction, shimalta, lo teret. If it goes up on the mizbeach, it won't come back down. So that's the way that the Shita Mikubetzet explains it. And that would, again, help us with Rashi Tavyat that says that the question is about Malikat Psul. By Malikat Psul, did you make a difference? Answer is yes. Even though you didn't make it kasher, even though the Korban can't be brought, you made a difference in that. If it goes on the Mizbeach, it won't come off the Mizbeach. That Malika had impact. Since that Malika had impact, no Tumat Vela. Treifa, no impact whatsoever. Since there's no impact whatsoever. Because if you put it on the Mizbeach, it would have to come off. That means that it will have tumat nivela. That's the Shita Mikubetzet that helps with Rashi Ketav Yad. Rashi over here says we're speaking about Olat Ta'of. Again, when it comes to Olat Ta'of, you make a difference with your Malika because it permits it to the Mizbeach, as opposed to Treifa, which makes no difference. But he explains the Breita as being Rabbi Meir. He says, V'hamatz Nita, this Breita is Mitukam K'Rabbi Meir. Tilei Shechita Ta'of Tohor, Mitaheret Treifa Tov Mitumato. The fact that it is a treifa doesn't change the status at all. Similar to what the Shita Mekubetzet says over here, that the treifa itself has no impact. So given that it doesn't do anything for you, that's when there's tumat nevela. But if you have something that does something for you, there won't be tumat nevela. So now, that takes care of malika psula bifnim, for an of tahor. What about hamuleik kodoshim bachutz, umuleik chulim ben bifnim ben bachutz? You do malika and kodoshim outside of the mikdash. You do malika on chulin, either in the mikdash or outside the mikdash. Hoyo ve'in matarim et ha'isur. They have no impact whatsoever. They do nothing at all. Mitamim bigadim ha'beit ha'bliyah. Therefore, they're deemed to have tumat nevela. That's what we said now. That the test to know whether you have tumat nevela or not is whether you did anything. Was your action efficacious in any way? So malika bifnim is efficacious. Whether that is because it's matirit for eating like by chatato, whether that's by olato, which is, allows it to be placed in the mizbeach, or whether that's by malikat psul, that gives nothing in terms of the korban, but helps you that if it went on the mizbeach, lo terei, all of those malikot are successful, therefore they remove tumat nevela. The other hand, the three malikot that we just mentioned, which is malikat kodashim, outside of the mikdash, miklat chulin, in or out of the mikdash, they're not successful at doing anything. They don't change the status of the animal whatsoever. Therefore, there is tumat nevela associated with them. Tanya Yidach, we have another braita. Yochol de shchitat chulin lifnim, v'kodashim ben bachuvdim ben bachutz mitama beit abliyah. Again, we're speaking about an oath tahor, and you did shchita, not melika here, you did shchita. You did shchitat chulin lifnim. So that's not a successful shchita, because you're doing chulin bifnim, which is problematic. You do kodshim bifnim, then it's one thing. But here you're doing chulin bifnim. Chulin bachutz, with shkita, that's the proper way to process an oath, so that's not what we're asking about. There, clearly, it's mitaher midei nevela. The question is, kodoshim ben bifnim, ben bachutz. Kodoshim, whether you did it in the mikdash with the shkita, which is wrong, you needed to do milika. Or kodoshim bachutz, you did it with the shkita or a milika, doesn't matter, because it's bachutz. You're doing kodoshim bachutz, which is problematic. So now you would think all of those are unsuccessful. Therefore, the tumat nevela remains with the animal. Tamalomar nevela. The pasuk says it's a nevela. In order for you to have tumat, it has to be a nevela. It says, hanami nevela. All of these items are nevela. They're all animals that were killed, died, without being mukshar in any way. So they're also a nevela. What does the tamalomar nevela teach you over here? Because these are also all nevelot, or who tells you that they're not nevelot? Elatam alomar treifa. The same word treifa that we saw before in the pasuk that's extraneous, we're bringing it over here. Ma treifa shaved bifnim kibachutz. Just like a treifa, there's no difference whether it's a treifa outside the mikdash, treifa inside the mikdash. It doesn't allow you to eat it. It causes you problems. Av koshavot bifnim kibachutz. So too, only when something has the same din inside and outside, will it be subject to tumat nevela? Yatsa. That excludes shchitat chulin bifnim. Vikodashim ben bifnim ben bachutz. All these items are not going to have tumat nevela because they're different dinim for it bifnim in kodesh than it has bechulin. Hoel below shavu bifnim bechulut, since it has that difference, ein mitamim begadim a beit abliya, does not have tumat nivela after you processed it in the following manner, even though they're not kasher to eat. Nevertheless, they still will not have tumat nivela of tor. Mar says bishlama chulin lo shavu bifnim gebachutz. Chulin makes a lot of sense. The din of chulin, bifnim, and bachutz is clearly differentiated. That is because if you shecht chulin outside of the mikdash, you have a kosher animal. You have a kosher bird that you can eat. That is successful. You shecht chulin, bifnim, you have a shechita psula, and it doesn't work. So they're differentiated. The din of a shechita of chulin, bifnim, is very different than the din of shechita chulin, bachutz. Therefore, they're not equated. If they're not equated, the pasuk tells you there's no tumat nevela. So that means shchitav chulin b'chutz or shchudat chulin b'fnim, both of them will not result in tumat nevela being there, because they are different, and therefore they're not similar to a treifa. Ela kodashim, when you're speaking about kodashim, idi v'idi psulim ninu. What did you accomplish that's different by shchitav kodashim b'chutz and shchitav kodashim b'fnim? Shchitav kodashim b'chutz clearly is problematic, because it's kodashim b'chutz. Shchitat kodeshim bifnim is also problematic because the proper way to do it is a melika. So it's also problematic. So they're pasul on the outside, pasul on the inside. Where's the differentiation that you were looking for? So along comes Rava, Amar Rava. That's not the reasoning over here. The reasoning by shchitat kodeshim bifnim and b'chutz is the following. Im ho'ilo lo shchita chutz lechayvo karet. If you do kodeshim b'chutz, we know that if you do shchitat kodeshim b'chutz, you're chayav karet. That's found in the psukim in Parshat Achrimot. There, the pasuk has a ribui to tell you that's not only true by shchitat kodeshim of a beima b'chutz, it's also true of a shchitat of kodeshim b'chutz. If you do it b'chutz, you're chayav karet. He says, if that shchita is efficacious enough to make you chayav karet, then that shchita is considered to be a real shchita. If it's a real shchita, lo tu'ilo lo tara mitei nevela, it should be enough to remove the tumat nevela. If it's deemed to be a shchita to make you chayav karet, meaning that if you do shchita on kodeshim b'chutz, now by behema, that's not a question. Because that's the way you normally process it. Behema, you do shchita b'chutz, of course that results in a kiyuv karet, and also is mitaher mitei nevela. Here we do a shchita on an oaf, which is not successful when you shecht an oaf kodeshim. Nevertheless, when you do it b'chutz, you are chayav karet. That shows you that that shchita was successful. Wasn't successful making it a kosher bird. It is successful in making you chayav karet. If it is successful in making you chayav karet, it will also be successful in removing the tumat nivela. That's what Rova says. Then, ashkechan chutz. Now we know what's true about the shchitat kodeshim b'chutz, why it's mitayar midei nivela. Pinim ilola. How do we know shchita bifnim of kodeshim is also mitayar midei nevela? Hoil velo shavu bifnim kibachut, because now outside and inside are not equal. So Rashi says over here, dao kimna debachut lo mitame, because we just established that outside it's not mitame tumat nevela. So by the inside we have no pasuk that tells us otherwise. So you would have thought a shechita of kodeshim bifnim would result in tumat nevela. That means outside it doesn't have tumat nevela. Inside it does have tumat nevela. They're not equal. They're not equal. Then we say there's no tumat nevela. So Rashi's statement is somewhat circular because he says we have a havamina. The havamina is that no tumat nevela for shchitat kodeshim b'chutz by an oaf tahor, and bifnim there would be tumat nevela. Well, now they're different. They're different. The braita tells you if they're different, then there's no tumat nevela. That means in the end, neither of them have tumat nevela, and they are equal. So it's only in the havamina they weren't equal, but in the maskana they are equal. If they're equal, then there should be tumat nevela. So it's somewhat of a circular logic. So what many rishonim say, not like Rashi, but the difference between b'chutz and bifnim is that shchita b'chutz gives you a chiyuv karet. Shchita bifnim does not result in a chiyuv karet. So there is a difference in the shchita. That difference also will make it that the tumat nevela that disappears b'chutz will also disappear bifnim, because bifnim and b'chutz are not equal in that way. So that's how we get to the fact that shchita b'chutz u'bifnim is not mitamei tumat nevela. If you want to say that it has to be shaveh, equal on the inside and outside, mala kodeshim b'chutz, you do malika on kodeshim b'chutz, dami lo. It shouldn't have tumat nevela, because malika of kodeshim bifnim is successful. Malikat Kodeshim Bachutz is unsuccessful. That means that you have one that is kosher, one is a psul. They're differentiated. If they're differentiated, there should be no tumat nivela. That's what we just learned from the Braita. Yet, we said in the previous Braita, when you do Malika of Kodeshim Bachutz, it has tumat nivela. So why don't you apply what says in the second Braita, there should be no tumat nivela? My Amar Rav Shimi Barashi, he answers the question, Danin Davar Shelo Bechshiro, Bin Davar Shelo Bechshiro. We are done something that is pasul from something else that is pasul. We're not going to have you learn or compare items where one is done right and one is done problematic, where one is totally kosher and the other one is not kosher. So again, in our case over here, by the case of shchita, by shchitat kodeshim bifnim and shchitat kodeshim bachutz, they're both psulim. So over there, you can compare them and say bifnim and bachutz are not equal. On the other hand, when you add in addition, if you deal with shchitat chulin bifnim, shchitat chulin bachutz. Now there you would say, wait a minute, shchitat chulin bachutz is kasher legamre. So how can you learn from that to shchitat chulin bifnim, where it's totally pasul? The answer is that the shchita bachutz here was done on a treifa. So that is equal. The shchita of a treifa bachutz is something that is pasul. Shchita of chulin bifnim is also pasul, so I can compare them. On the other hand, when it comes to Malika, you can't compare them because Malika Bachutz is Pasul, Malika Bifnim is Kasher. So then how can you compare those items? For that reason, you can't apply the din of Bifnim and Bachutz that are equal or not equal to the issues of Malika. Because by Malika of Kodeshim, there's a difference between that which is Bifnim and that which is bachutz. So he says, velo, is that really true? We don't learn from something that is heter to something that is asur. Batanya, minayin leyotzei, shimala lo yirid. How do I know that when you have a psul in kodeshim, where it was taken out of the area where it was supposed to be, meaning internally to the azara, then you can't put it on the mizbeach anymore. But if it ends up on the mizbeach, you don't take it off. Shari yotzei b'kasher bebama. Because Yotzei works by Bama. Wait a minute, how can you learn from that? Be'a Bama, there is no din of Yotzei at all. By the Mikdash, there is a din of Yotzei. So how can you compare the case of Bama, where it's Heter Legamre, to the case of Kodesh in the Mikdash, where Yotzei is Pasul? How can you learn one from the other? My answer is, that's not the real limud, as we saw yesterday, which is Tana Zot Torah Tola Riba Samechle. The reasoning behind why those items that end up on the Mizbeach remain on the Mizbeach is not because they have a heter somewhere else, not because they have a hekster in another place. That's just a siman. That's a symptom of that item. Rather, it has to do with the pasuk. It says, "So Torah Tala, Torah Achat the Chololim." Anything that ends up in the Mizbeach has the same Torah, which means it stays on the Mizbeach, doesn't come off. That's not true by everything. There is a qualification that it has to be psulo b'kodesh. That we learned yesterday. We're going to learn it again on Pei Dalet. But that has to be psulo b'kodesh. But that's the source. The source is not the fact that by Yotzei, by Bamat, Mutar, therefore Yotzei in the Mikdash, it goes on his Mizbeach, doesn't come down. The real reason is, so Torah Olam, anything that goes on his Mizbeach doesn't come off. And so Yotzei is like anything else that goes on his Mizbeach. You would think that has broader application, the Gemara later on will narrow that to things that are Psulo B'Kodesh. But nevertheless, that's the reasoning is from the Pasuk, not a comparison of Bama to Mikdash. So now you don't have any proof to me, or to upend what I just said, that you can't prove something from Heter to Isur. Because by Yotzei, that's not the reasoning. And over here, that would be the distinction. By Shchitat Chulin and by Shchitat Kodoshim, we can compare Bifnim and Bachutz, because they're both situations of Psul. On the other hand, by Malika, you can't compare Malika Bifnim of Kodoshim to Malika of Kodoshim Bachutz, because one of them is Heter Gomor and one is Isur, and therefore, can't say, oh, you compare them, they're not similar. Of course they're not similar, because one's Heter and one's Asur. And for that reason, it doesn't work under the second Braita. And therefore, in conclusion, if we're to look at what we just learned here from the Braitot, we have, of the eight cases now, by Shchita of Kodeshim, whether it is Bifnim, whether it is Bechutz, it gets rid of Tumat Nevela. Shchita of Chulin, Bechutz, is also Mitaher Midei Nevela, because that's the regular shchita. Shchita bifnim is also mitaher. That means shchita is successful in all situations of removing the tumat nevela. One, the case where it's chulin b'chutz, because that is the right way to do it. And then, even if it's a treifa, it still gets rid of the tumat nevela, even though it's a sort to eat. And in the other three cases, because of the limudim, either because of shchitat kodeshim b'chutz, because you know that you're chayav for shkutei chutz, therefore it's also successful getting rid of the tahara. And then for kodeshim bifnim and chulin bifnim, because they are differentiated between that which is done bifnim and that which is done b'chutz, both of those are mitaher midei nevela. When it comes to malika, on the other hand, it's a different story. Malika of kodeshim bifnim is tahor. Now, it's probably tahor and kasher, although we saw the exception that Rashi in the Tavyad says it's even speaking about a malika psula, that it's still successful at getting rid of the tumat nevela. On the other hand, a malika of kodeshim bachutz, or a malika of chulim, both bifnim and bachutz, all those are tamei tumat nevela. So in the end, you have shchita is successful at getting tumat nevela across the board, whereas milika fails across the board to get rid of tumat nevela, with the exception of milikat kodeshim bifnim. Okay, that's this first part of today's gemara. Now we move on to the Mishnah. Malak v'nimtzeit treifa. You do a milika, and then you find out that it was a treifa. Rabbi Meir Omer, Einu mitamei bebeit ablia. It doesn't have tumat nevela. Again, that's a siman. When it says it's not mitamei tumat beit ablia, that is what nevelat of tahor does. It makes you tamei tumat beit ablia. So Rabbi Meir says that if you do malika, turns out to be a treifa, that even though it's not a kosher korban, it's not successful, nevertheless, it gets rid of the tumat nevela. That's what Rashi quoted before, that he thinks the bright is according to Rabbi Meir. The other Rishonim said that they thought the bright in our Gemara 4 was even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And again, that might be different between Malika Psulim versus the case of Malika and Nimtzeit Treifa. And that might have to do with what you think Rabbi Meir's position is with regards to Malikat Chulin, which is that Rashi here says that Malika only helps according to Rabbi Meir in Kodoshim. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim that believe that according to Rabbi Meir, Malikat Chulin also is efficacious in removing Tumat Nevela. If that's the case, he's obviously not the author of the previous Mishnah, nor the Brito that we saw in the previous Amud. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, mitameh. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that it is tameh, in that malika of a kodashim, bifnim, that ends up being a treifa, the malika is unsuccessful. Because malika doesn't help you out with the treifa. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, as Rashi notes over here, we're going to see in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that even when you do shchita on chulin, where shchita is the proper way to do it on chulin, it is unsuccessful at removing the tumat nevela. And the reason being is because Rabbi Yehuda believes whether it's malika or whether it's shchita, it doesn't help you to get rid of the tumat nevela unless it's a completely successful malika or a completely successful shchita. But here where it was a treifa, it doesn't work. All right. Turns out, for Rabbi Yehuda, whether it was Malika or Shchita, it cannot get rid of the Tumat Nevela if it is a Treifa. According to Rabbi Meir, both Shchita and Malika are successful at removing the Tumat Nevela. Again, Malika on Kodeshim Bifnim, Shchita on Chulin Bachutz. If they're found to be a Treifa, still, they're a Treifa, but they're not a Nevela, according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're both a Treifa and a Nevela. And then there's a middle opinion, Rabbi Yossi, who we'll see in a second, is Shchita mitaheret treifa avalo malika. But he says that shchita is successful at removing the tumat nevela for chulin bachutz, but malika bifnim on kodoshim is not successful at moving the tumat nevela from it. So those are the three different views we're going to have here in the Mishnah. We saw Rabbi Meir, we saw Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says kav v'chomer im nevelat behema shimitama b'maga u'masa. When it comes to a behema and you do shchita on it, this was your question, it removes the tumah, which is a much more chamor tumah. It's tumat magal masa, shchita ta mitaheret treifata mitumata. The shchita is successful at removing the nevela from it, even though it's found to be a treifa. Nevela ta of. When it comes to nevela ta of, she'enu mitamei b'magal masa. It doesn't have tumat magal masa. It only has tumah of consumption, of eating it, beit abliyah. Certainly the shchita should be successful at removing it. If shchita works by behema, where the tumah is much more chamura to take off the tumat nevela, why shouldn't it be true also by an oaf? Mematzinu b'shchitato shehi mafsherta la'achila, And just like we find by Shkita, by the oath, that it is umetaheret shepatomi tumato, that it allows it to be eaten, and in addition to that, it removes the tumat nevela, af melikato, soto melika b'fnim, shim akshato b'achila, which allows a chatat oath to be eaten by the kohanim, titaheret shepatomi de tumato, should be successful at removing it. So here you have Rabbi Meir making a two-step assumption, and again, Rabbi Yehuda argues on both of the steps. Rabbi Meir says, first of all, shchita v'beima b'chutz, everybody agrees, takes care of tumat nevela. Well, shchita by beima, which has a higher level of tumah, the shchita gets rid of the tumat nevela when it's a treifa, then certainly shchita ba'ov should do the same thing when the tumah is much more kala. Then, once I know that, that shchita ba'ov gets rid of the tumat nevela when it is a treifa, then malika, as a meimitzinu, should work in the same way. Just like it's true by Shkita b'chulin, it should be true by Malika by Kodeshim. So that's Rabbi Meir's logic. Rabbi Yehuda's first of all is going to argue and say, number one, Shkita b'of doesn't work like Shkita b'ema. That's the first thing he disagrees with. Second of all, he's going to say, well, if Shkita b'of doesn't work, then also Malika b'of is not going to work, and therefore he does not subscribe to this logic of Rabbi Meir. And now we have the third position, which we mentioned before, which is Rabbi Yossi Omer, Daya k'nevelat b'ema. It should be enough, like in a velat beimash, chitata mitarata v'lo melikata. That's what we said before, that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Meir with regards to shchitat chulin b'chutz, that that shchitat by an oaf tahor will remove the nevela, even if it's found to be a treifa. The other hand, when you do melika bifnim on kodoshim, that will not be successful at removing the nevela if that bird is found to be a treifa. So Gemara asks, v'Rabbi Meir, lo darish dayo, is it really true that Rabbi Meir does not subscribe to a principle called Dayo? Dayo means it's enough. Which is that when you invoke a Kal V'chomer, you have something that is of a lighter form, and you have something that's a more chamur form. If you say something is true of the lighter form, then it's certainly true of the more chamur form, or vice versa. If something is chamur and we're mekil, then the same should be true, or certainly should be true by the mekil item, that it also should be the kula. So that's a logical argument that is a kal v'chomer. Dayo is a principle that says that the object of your kal v'chomer can't be better than the source of your kal v'chomer. And that is that when you have something that tells you information from the source, and you say, well, it certainly should be true of the other item, that's certainly true of the other item, cannot be better than the item you're learning from. It has to be equal to it. And again, we're going to bring an example of that right away. V'hadayo do'raitei. Isn't that principle a Torah principle? Ditanya, at the end of Parshat Balotcha, when Miriam is stricken with Tzarat, over there, Moshe pleads with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you gotta lock her up outside the Machaneh for 7 days. Ditanya, Vidin Kal V'chomer, Ketzad, Vayomer Moshem El Moshe, Vaviyah Yarok Yarak Bifaneha, if her father had spit in her face, meaning that he was angry at her, and he was chastising her, wouldn't you have to then be in timeout for 7 days? Then certainly over here, she should be in timeout. Kal v'chomer l'shechina avas hayom. If for a human being that you offend and is upset at you, you have to move out and disappear for 7 days, be in timeout for 7 days, then by the shechina, kodesh baruch hu, alchad kama v'kama, you should have to do 14 days. Now, why 14 days? So over here, either because it's parallel. It was 7 days, it's enough for a human being, then Hashem was greater, you'll double the amount, and it'll be 14 days. The Ramban just simply says, that's the way of the Chachamim, we find this in other places in Shas, where they just double whatever it is. So for Miriam, with her father, would have been sufficient 7, then for the Shekhinah, it should be 14, which is double the unit of time that was in the beginning, to the period that we're saying is the Chamur. Although the Baal Yad Tosafot over here give a reason for that, and he says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Beinu Tam says, the Nakat Arbasa Yom, why does it pick 14 days out of any number? 7. So God should be more. What does it mean more? More, it should be infinite. God is infinitely greater than man, so the punishment should be infinitely greater. Why is it only 7 days? Beinu Tam says there's a logic to that, based on the Gemara Nida that says that there are Shlosha Shutafim Ba'adam. There are 3 partners in the creation of an individual. There is the father, the mother, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And over there it says that the mother and father contribute 9 items to the child, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu contributes 9 items. And in that case, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is equal to the mother and the father. So Hashtar Minin Dayo Ki Aviv, the Shekhinah is equal to the father and the mother. So if the offense was the father, it would have been 7 days. The offense of the mother would have been 7 days. Hashem, which is equal to mother and father, it should have been 14 days. And that's how you get the calculation according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Chaim, on the other hand, says, in a day, you're right. For a Kal V'Chomer to the Shekhinah should have been infinite. Just like Hashem is infinitely greater than man, so too the Skirah should be infinitely greater. So then why did it pick 14 days? Because it looks for a paradigm. It's an important principle in general. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal was very wont to use this as a halachic construct in many places, which is that you need a paradigm. Whenever something is derabbanan, or you're creating something, you have to look to the Torah, you have to look to other places to find a paradigm from which you can work off of. That's what the Rabbeinu Chaim says over here. If you go to Hezger by Nigayim, the longest you can be locked up for in a Hezger is 2 weeks. And so that's the maximum. So what it says here is, wouldn't she be in trouble and time out for 7 days if she had offended her father was angry at her? Then for the Shekhinah, you go to the max. What's the maximum amount where a person is put mechutz l'machaneh? That is for 2 weeks. The largest Hezger that you would have is for 2 weeks. And therefore, you give for a Kadosh Baruch Hu the maximum amount. But what the Gemara is pointing out here is, the Kal V'Chomer would have dictated that if Miriam offended her father, she would have been placed outside or kicked out for 7 days. Then when it comes to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, she certainly should be kicked out for 14 days. But if you look at the Psukim over there, it says that she's only out for 7 days. Why is that? Ella, Dayola Vomin Adin, the Yot Kenidon. That the object of the limud can't be greater than the source. The source here is an altercation with the father, which would have resulted in a 7-day timeout. So too, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, certainly an altercation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, should result in a punishment of 14 days. But we said that there's a principle of dayo. The object of your limud can't be greater than the source. The source says 7 days. So all the Kal V'Chomer allows you to do is bring 7 days. And that's what it shows you in the Torah. The fact that Miriam was only sent out of the Machaneh for 7 days shows you that they have to be on an equal footing. And that means that the Kal V'Chomer only allows you to say what is true of Miriam vis-a-vis her father will also be true of Miriam vis-a-vis the Shekhinah, even though the Shekhinah should have resulted in something greater. Nevertheless, since the source is the father of 7 days, the Shekhinah also has to be 7 days. So now, why don't we say the same thing here with regards to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir brings a Kal V'Chomer from Behemah. The Kal V'Chomer from Behemah says Shechita Behemah is successful at removing the Tumat Nevela. So, too, by a bird, it should be successful at removing the Tumat Nevela. But by an animal, that's only true by Shechita. Now you want to tell me that what's true by an animal by Shechita is true by an oath, not only by Shechita, also by Melika? That is, Dayola Vomitin Liot Kenidon. Why is he expanding? Why is he allowing it to go beyond what you learn from Behemah? That's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara says, but you think that Rabbi Meir doesn't subscribe to this principle of Dayo? Dayo is a Torah principle. Torah principle that governs how the logic of a Kal V'Chomer works. And therefore, Rabbi Meir's Kal V'Chomer should be unlimited. And say, just like Shechita works for Behemah, it should work for an oath. But that's it. It should have ended over there. Shouldn't be able to extrapolate it also to Melika afterwards. So my answers. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Meir, Kra Ashkach, Bekad Dorish. He found a pasuk and was Doresh the pasuk that says in Parshat Shmini, with regards to the kashrut of animals, says, Zotarata Beima Val Oth. This is the Torah for Beima and Oth, which tells you, Bechi Meizu Torah Shavta Beima Va'oth. Va'oth le Beima. Where do we find that a Beima and Oth are the same? And a bird is the same as a Beima. Beima Mitama Bimagava Masa. Over there in Parshat Shmini, at the end of Parshia, when it speaks about Nevelot and other things that deal with Tuma, with regards to animals, over there there's a distinction between a Behemah and an Oath. Nevelot Behemah Torah is Mitamah Baba Maga Uba Masa. That's Tumat Maga and Tumat Masa. Oath, Enu Mitamah Baba Maga Masa. On the other hand, an Oath, it does not have Tumat Maga Masa, and vice versa. Oath, Mitamah Begadim Abed Abliya. Oath, if you consume it and you swallow it, it makes you tamei and your clothing tamei. Beimaina mitama begadim beit abliya. That's not true by beima. You will be tamei because you came into contact with the item, but your begadim will not be tameim because all you did was come into contact with it. Especially if someone stuck it into your throat and you swallowed it, even there won't be any tuma at all. Ella lomar lecha. So then, why are beima and oath equated in that case? Ma beima davar shemachshira lachila mitaher treifata mitumata. Just like by the Behemah, whatever is makshirit to be eaten, also is makshirit to remove they tumat nevela from it. That's shechita. Af oaf, davar shemachshir ba'achila, mitaher trefato mitumato. So too by an oaf, whatever clears it to be eaten will also clear it from tumat nevela. Now you're making an equation. It's not a kal v'chomer anymore. It's not a logical argument extending shechitat beima to shechitat oaf, but rather now an equation of equivalence, which says, just like by beima, whatever clears it to be eaten also clears it of tumat nevela, so do by oaf. By oaf, you have two manifestations of that. You have that by shechitat oaf b'chutz, that's mitayeret to be eaten, so that will also be mitayeret from nevela. Malikat oaf bifnim of kodoshim also clears it for achila. That's chatat oaf, that the kohanim can eat it. So just like it clears it for achila, it will also clear it of tumat nevela. And that is the logic or the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's position. So now over here, when Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Avin says that Rabbi Meir krashkach legadorash, the Gemara doesn't say Ella. Ella would indicate that there was a change in Rabbi Meir's mind, and now we have a totally different limud or source for him. And truthfully, that's the way many of the Rishonim learn here with regards to the Mishnah, that is that Rabbi Meir's kal v'chomer in the Mishnah actually fails. He has to abandon that logic and move to a hekesh. On the other hand, Rashi says that his kal v'chomer in the Mishnah is successful. It's only successful to gabe shchita of chulin. What it's unsuccessful to doing is then being moved over to the malika of kodeshim. And that's why he needs the hekesh. So Rabbi Meir does not abandon his kal v'chomer the gamrei. That's why you don't find the word ella over here, because he still upholds that kal v'chomer, and that's why it's found in the Mishnah. But that's only good enough to teach you about shchitat of tohor v'chulin. Doesn't teach you about malika. For malika, you need the hekesh, because of the dayo that prevents you from learning from chulin to kodeshim. On the other hand, for the Rambam and other Rishonim that believe that Rabbi Meir abandoned the kal v'chomer the gamrei, the hekesh becomes the source for everything. And even though the kal v'chomer is in the Mishnah, that's because that was Rabbi Meir's original thought. But once he realized that it failed, he then went on to the hekesh, and hekesh supplants the kal v'chomer, the gamrei. The Gemara says, V'Rabbi Yehuda, my time up. Then what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Meir has a pretty compelling story to tell over here, and a limud from the pasuk. So what is Rabbi Yehuda's limud that he says that's not true? Kra ashkaf v'kadorish. He found a pasuk and was goresh. Nevela trefa. The pasuk that we had before, which was the pasuk that said, which is speaking about nevelat of tohor. Over there it brings the words nevelat and trefa. And as we noted already before, the word trefa is extraneous. That's why Rashi said the author of the bright thought before was Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Huda is about to use this word trefa over here. And Rashi claims that Rabbi Meir has that word as extraneous, and that gives you all the limudim in the bright thought on the Amud Aleph. That's why he thinks they were authored by Rabbi Meir, because for him, treifa is extraneous. We saw alternate view in the Shita Mekubetzet and the Rashi Abiyad that seemed to indicate that the Braita was according to Rabbi Yehuda and not according to Rabbi Meir. So, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Treifa lama nemra? Why is the word treifa appear in the Pasuk? Im treifa chaya, if a treifa lives, hare nevela amura. If a treifa lives, then it'll continue to live. When it dies, it's a nevela. So then how is that different than a nevela? Im treifa ena chaya, if a treifa doesn't live, meaning it's going to die right now, then harihi bichlal nevela, then it is a nevela as well. I mean that either way, a treifa is no different than a nevela. If it succeeds at living, it's no different than any other animal that dies in the end, then it's a nevela. If a treifa is considered to be dead, then it's also a nevela right now because it died. Ela, so then what's the purpose of having the word nevela there? Avi treifa shishachta, to tell you that if you have a treifa that was shechted, Shemitama, that it does not clear tumat nevela. Is that opposed to what we saw in the bright note on the Amud Aleph, where the treifa was coming to tell you in situations in which tumat nevela applies? Over here, Rabbi Yehuda learns it just the opposite. The word treifa comes to teach you that no matter what happens, if it's a treifa, it has a din of tumat nevela. So that's his limud from the word treifa. So the conclusion here in Vilgan Rashi is Lashmina and treifa chaya venich blal nevela. That a treifa does live, and therefore it doesn't have a din of nevela. Fikach husachomar shetreifata mevia leh tuma. That's why the pasuk tells you that as a treifa, it does have a din of tuma miyad immediately. Im talash v'chal mimenu basar. If you pull off some flesh from it, then it will have a din of tumat nevela. Afilu enu eiver shel basar gidim atzamot. Even if it's not a full eiver that has all its component parts to it, where it would be eiver min achai. And it would be tamei because of that. But just because it's kazayit basar, that's coming from a treifa. Okay, in the shame treifa may be la tuma michayim. Since the tumat of a treifa comes while it's still alive, ain shchitata mo elet ba. Then the shchita is not going to be efficacious in taking it away. It has nothing to do with being dead. That gives it the tumat nevela. It has tumat nevela now while it's still alive. Not the animal itself, but any basar that separates away from it. And therefore that will survive its death. Meaning that the shchita will not take away that din of tuma. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda believes that the shchita the treifa does nothing to remove the tumat nevela from it. That's Rashi's view over here. And you can see that in Rashi where he says, in nevela is chaya, based on that machloket in the Gemara and Chulin, then kevin shemeta mitna blab and mitata. Then in the future, when it dies, it'll become a nevela. Ve'im treifa eina chashuva chaya. If you think a treifa does not live, harehi mishat shenitrefa bechlal nevela. Then from the moment it became a treifa, it is already deemed to be dead or like a nevela. So in either case, you're going to end up in the same din of nevela. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot bring a different view, basically because we never find any living animal that conveys tuma. And here, according to Rashi, a treifa is deemed to be a nevela and will convey tuma nevela even when it's still alive. Therefore, they bring two other possibilities. We had to explain it in the name of Rabbeinu Chaim that avoids that machloket in Chulin that says the following. E treifa eino chayo, if a treifa doesn't live. Umirmairi bitalash mimena basar chai. It's a case when he pulled off some flesh for it when it was still alive. Achalo, hari bichlal devela. The basar pareish mimena ukapareish mina meita umitame. Because basar that leaves it is not considered to be basar pareish mina chai. It's basar pareish mina meit. Basar pareish mina meit has a din of tumat nevela. But afal gea that the behemah itself is still living, nevertheless it's designated or considered as if dead for the purposes that if something separates away from it, it'll be like basar apareish min hatameh. Or in the alternative, he brings a pshat that says, e treifa chaya, meaning that if the treifa is still alive, and then you pull off some basar, kazayit basar from this beima treifa that is still alive, and eats it, harei nevela dafka amura. The Torah says in nevela, and this is not a nevela, because it's alive. And so therefore the basar that you take off of it, is not classified as being a nevela. So in either one of those cases, there's a chiddush. There's either a chiddush that, even though the animal's alive, when you pull away the basar, that basar now gets a status of nevela, as if it's dead because treifa ain't a chaya. It's not going to live out in the end anyway, so the basar you take off it as a status of nevela. Or, according to the other version, in treifa chaya, it's going to live, and you pull off basar from it, it's not deemed to be nevela, because the animal's still alive, and the basar you take away from it is basar menachai, not basar nevela. Amrle roshizvi elamiato. You're going to learn that way, that whenever you have nevela and treifa there, that teaches you, even when it is a treifa, it does not clear itself of the tuma. Then what are you going to do with dichtiv? What are you going to do with the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin that says, v'chelev nevela, v'chelev treifa, the fats of a nevela, the fats of a treifa, yasel ochom lacha. You can get hana from them, v'achol lo tochluhu, but you may not eat it. And the hana that we're speaking about here is not real hanaha, because there's no reason to say that it is asur b'hana. Rather, the drasha is that the heter hanaha means that it doesn't have a din of tuma. That chelev nevela and chelev treifa don't have a din of tumat nevela, that they are tihorim, and you can get quote-unquote hana from them, and not worry about them being mitameh, whatever item you are engaged with. So in the pasuk says, chelev nevela and chelev treifa. Why do I need both of those? Weren't you, Rabbi Yehuda, the word treifa would be extraneous over there. And if that's the case, that would tell me, chelev nevela and chelev treifa, ha'otam nami neima. Why don't we invoke this lima that Rabbi Yehuda just did and say, im treifa chaya, if a treifa lives, arei nevela amura. In the end, it's going to die, and then it'll be a nevela then. Im treifa eina chaya, if a treifa doesn't live, harehi bichlal nevela, then it's already a nevela now, and you already have a tumat nevela. So how is a treifa any different than a nevela? Ella, so what are you going to say? La vi treifa, sheshachta, to tell you that if you have a treifa that you shech, shechelba tahor, to say that the chelev is going to be tahor. Michlal dehi mitama. So now what you're going to do is tell me that the chelev is tohor mitumat nevela, even if you have a treifa. I mean, when you shech the treifa, even though it's not successful at removing the isur, nevertheless, it will be successful at removing the din of nivela from the chelet. That's what the shtreifa tells you to do there. But that implies that only the chelet is tahor. But that implies the heat mitama, that the animal itself is mitama to mat nivela. And that goes against what we know. We have this in the name of Rav, Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, or in a Braita we have this. It says when an animal dies, then it has tumat nevela. It says mitzat beima mitama, mitzat beima ina mitama. It says mina beima, from amongst the animals. That means not all animals have this din, only some animals have this din, which is that some animals when they die will have tumat nevela. Some animals when they die will not have tumat nevela. Ve'ezozo. What is the difference? Which animals do and don't have tumat nevela? Zo treifa shishakta. A treifa that you shech. So everybody agrees that when it comes to a beima, that is a treifa, that when you do shechita, it takes away the tumat nevela. But according to the way that you're going to learn now, that whenever you have nevela and treifa, that treifa remains in its status quo. Like you said before, that a treifa shechita retains its shame nevela. So do by chelev, that when it comes to a chelev nevela and a chelev of a treifa, that the chelev of a nevela, the chelev is separate from the nevela. So do when you have a treifa, the chelev will be differentiated from the animal itself. And that means that the chelev will be tahor, it will not have tumat nevela. But that means the animal itself will have tumat nevela. That goes against what we know, which is that shchita of a behema, that is a treifa, gets rid of its tumat nevela. Ella, treifa mibayile limute tmeya. So that's what you need. Treifa comes to tell you that it's not true by a tmeya. I mean that what's true by a treifa is not true by a tmeya. Mishishba mimina treifa. Something that in its category has a treifa. Yes, the zush ain bimina treifa. Here, what you're going to say is that why does it bring the word treifa here? The word treifa is coming to define nevela. What type of nevela is the subject of the din that chelev nevela and chelev treifa don't have a din of tumat nevela, that they are tahorim, the chelev of a nevela, which has a treifa in its world. Well, what has a treifa in its world? That's only animals that are tahorim. Animals that are tahorim have a din of treifa in their world. So since they have a din of treifa, then chelev nevela will apply to them. On the other hand, things that don't have a din of treifa in their world, those are animals that are tmeim, non-kosher animals, then they also won't have a din of chelev nevela. They won't be subject to the din that chelev nevela and chelev treifa don't have a din of tumat nevela, that they are tahorim. They will be non-kosher animals, but they won't have a separate din of a chelev that's associated with them. So that's what we'll learn from the word treifa. So Gemara says, if that's the case, of tamei, achanami. Why don't we say the same thing over here? Limute oftamei, she'en bimino treifa. Why don't you do the same thing by tumat nevela? And say the word there, treifa, is not coming to teach you that even if it's a treifa, it remains tumat nevela. Why don't you learn like you just learned now? That treifa is defining what type of nevela. Just like by the chelev, the treifa was defining it's only about behema tehora and not about a behema tmeya. Say the same thing by the nevelat oftahor. Say that the treifa comes to teach you that only nevelat oftahor is subject to this din because it has a treifa in its world. But something that doesn't have a treifa in its world, meaning an oftameh, is not subject to tumat nevelat ha'ov. How can I have nimute oftameh? Shein bimino treifa. It says oftameh Rabbi Yehuda min nevela nafkale. He learns that out of the word nevela. He doesn't need the word treifa to teach you that. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer yochol tei nivelet oftameh mitama bigadim beit abliyah. You would think that tumat nevela applies not only to a kosher bird, but even to non-kosher birds. Tamalomar nevela utreifa lo yochal. The pasuk in Vayikra Chabet in Parshat Emor says nevela utreifa lo yochal utam ava ani Hashem mi shisru mishum bal tochal nevela. The thing that conveys tuma is only true when the only iser here is an iser of nevela. Yatzazesh ein isru mishum bal tochal nevela. That's different over here because the problem with a behema tmeya is not because it's a nevela. The problem with it is because it is a behema tmeya. It's a non-kosher animal. That's what creates the problem. But the pasuk in Emor teaches you that it's lo yochal netamaba. Don't eat it because it is a nevela. Well, that means that it's only because it's a nevela you can't eat it. There's nothing else stopping you.
Well, by a non-kosher animal, there's something else stopping you. Forget about it. It's an avela. It's a non-kosher animal. So that teaches you that only tahor animals are subject to an avelat oaf. That's how he learns avelat oaf, and he doesn't need the word treifa to teach him that. So then, once again, the word treifa here will be extraneous, and then Rabbi Yehuda will use the word treifa comes to teach you that no matter what happens, if it's a treifa, it has a din of tumat nevela. We're going to stop here, and then we'll continue tomorrow. The Gemara will bring other possibilities of what we can learn from the word treifa, which would then not leave it available for Rabbi Yehuda to use as a limud.